Actually, you know what's awesome about the garden when he said be fruitful and multiply? He's not just talking about having kids. Reproduce everything I created you to be. His image. His image. The Garden of Eden seems like scripturally it was a confined place that they were told to keep it, tend it. It sounded like a limited space because when they got ousted out, right? Because of sin, the angel came to guard the entrance to the garden. It sounds like it was an area. Well, that's amazing because what do they do when they're fruitful and multiply and they start having kids and generations later? I mean, you live in a one-room, two-room, one-bedroom, two-room, two-bedroom apartment and just keep having children. Sooner or later, you outgrow the apartment. So it seems puzzling, but it's a good idea. What God did was he gave them a space to tend and keep and be fruitful, multiply, and they were going to grow out and keep expanding and grow out until the glory of the Lord covered the earth. That's why when the Israelites were failing terribly and Moses was repenting and going through wardrobes of clothes and dust on his head, at one point God said, "You listen to me, Moses, as surely as I live. The whole earth will be filled with my glory." He was looking at a people that were cycling and failing and believing lies and living for themselves and flesh. And he was making a bold proclamation and statement that, look, what I saw before the foundation of the world will surely come to pass. There is a generation of people coming to the earth that will love not their own lives unto death, understand who they are, filled by my spirit, and through my son will cover the earth with my glory. He's not talking about mystical revival. He's talking about the church that knows who she is. The Bible says that what is man that thou art mindful of him, that he would visit him. He says that we're his crowning creation and glory. Man living by the Spirit is the glory of God revealed. He said who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. That's not a weird thing. That's not a pompous thing. That means by filling you with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he brought you on the plane of God and made you family, the expression of who he is. Yeah? So all of a sudden, they multiply and they're fruitful, and the glory of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's the calling for the church. Yeah? We think it's getting the gospel of salvation into the ears of every man. First of all, he said it's the gospel of the kingdom. And he said when they become one like we're one, then the world's going to know. When they become one like we're one, then the world will know that you sent your son. What's he talking about? When they become one with the heart of God. When they become love. When they become locked in, synergistic, to becoming one. In the kingdom, don't answer this in math class, kids, you'll fail. One plus one is a stronger one. It's not two. One plus one is a synergistic one. Yeah? It's covenant. All that is mine is yours, all that is yours is mine. One plus one, stronger one. The highest expression of God on the earth is a marriage that understands that. It's more synergistic than an individual that understands that because it's two wills, two emotions, two makeups, two dispositions surrendered for the cause of the king, and together they make a mighty one. I've had encounters with my wife in that place that I have never had on my own with the Lord. I've had experiences with God in that place with my wife in prayer and intercession that I've never had in my own relationship with Jesus. Why? Because she was added to the equation and it was synergism and it increased and it released even something more.
It's interesting, huh?
So you're not married because you need one another. You're married because you love one another. And if you love one another, you don't think for yourself. You take no account of a suffered wrong. So that's the end of arguments and animosity. And all that stuff because we really get it because we've grown in the Spirit. And it's possible to live that way. It's your created value. You can't tell me one of you have had a fun time in your marriage pushing to be right. Come on. Synergism. I'm going to get a little stretchy, a little tight on this, okay? I might need to hold your hand. It is possible to live in your homes and your families without the stuff we're used to and call familiar. It is possible to walk in love and never have another negative word towards one another, arguments. People say, that's impossible, Dan. You're in denial. You're ludicrous. Well, then the Bible's a lie. Let's go home and stay in the flesh. Come on. Does he tell you to walk in love just as Jesus loved? So is it possible? Is it possible for you to become love? Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Why? Doesn't think for itself. Love doesn't think any evil. It rejoices in the truth. People say, don't pray for patience. God will give it to you. I hear it in the church. You know what you're saying? If you're praying for patience, you haven't become love because love is patient. It's an indictment against us. We're actually saying, I haven't become love. Forget about praying for patience. Just become love and you'll be patient. We're afraid to pay for patience because God might give it to us. It just shows that we're not becoming love. We're just enduring one another. Come on, I'm being real. It's not a play on words. That's just the truth. Are you guys okay? Do you know when I'm talking like this, it's not just so just to correct you. It's not to show you where you're not. It's to show you where you're called. It's not so you leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go. That's the way that seems right to a man. It's so you leave here and say, boy, the path has been set clear. I've got somewhere to travel. I've got some agenda to pursue. I've got a goal to arrive. I've got something to apprehend. It's not so you leave here and say, oh boy, I feel tore up, man. I'm a long way from God. I'm wondering if I'm even saved after tonight. That is the devil deluxe. No, you leave here and say, man, the lights are on. Man, my heart's before you, God. Man, without even realizing, I've given myself to some thoughts and some things that are weakness that haven't produced life. God, thanks for speaking to me. You know what I get excited about? If I'm speaking truth by the Spirit, then Holy Spirit's voice will be attached to what I said, and you'll hear it in light of what I've spoke this whole weekend. And if you think opposite, live opposite, you'll know it. Jesus will speak to you. I say, hey, that's not who you are. Hey, why are you feeling that way? Hey, I don't feel that way. He'll just minister to you. I'm telling you, he'll pull you. He'll give you every chance to walk free. Because once you minister truth into somebody, you've set the platform for freedom. Without truth, there's no hope for freedom. That's why you preach the gospel. Did you hear what I said? Without truth, there's no possibility of freedom. That's why I cover so many topics. Because I understand the power of sowing a seed. And the more seeds I scatter, the more things that can possibly grow. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to close with this. Be patient with me, guys. 8:20. You guys all right? That's the right time, right? Okay. I'm closing. Oh, my little buddy. I heard that from here. He's so my little buddy. I got a lot of smiles from him in the last 2 days. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians. Please bear with me. We'll be done. 10 minutes, we'll be done. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Watch. And through us. See, we hook up to that always leads us in triumph, and sometimes on the surface we think he just always makes sure our car runs well. He just always makes sure we never get laid off. He just always makes sure that bad things don't come. That isn't what it's talking about. He leads us in triumph by changing our perspective so we see why we're on the earth, so we always respond in truth no matter what we're facing. How can you say that, Dan? Because of the next line. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. Do you see why you're a Christian? You're not a Christian to go to heaven. Hello? Alert. You're not a Christian to go to heaven. You're a Christian for heaven to come into you so that you can manifest his kingdom on the earth and others can know him because you do. You're not a Christian to go to heaven. You're a Christian to be restored back to God so you can fulfill your purpose. And yes, you'll live forever because you're one with the eternal one.
But if your goal is just going to heaven, come on, you'll stay the same as you were before you prayed that prayer.
The goal of the gospel was never just to get your name in that book. You'd be glad it's there. I'm very glad it's there. I hope in his appearing. I rejoice that I'm saved. But I'm saved for now. I'm saved to manifest him now. I'm redeemed back to purpose now. I'm not the great escaped Christian waiting for the trumpet to blow so I can bail out of here.
I'm not saying, God, why aren't you coming? It's really getting dark.
No, I'm not saying, hey, I prayed the prayer now. In fact, all my kids are saved. Man, you can blow the trumpet now. We're in, God. That's saying to hell with everybody else, man. To heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. The reason he's not blowing the trumpet is because today somebody might change. We better get that. He always leads us in triumph. He leads us. What he does is he transforms us with a new, fresh perspective on why we're alive. In the face of all adversity, he gives you the ability to manifest what he looks like in the trial. And through you, in that disposition and attitude and expression, he diffuses the fragrance and knowledge of Christ. Does this make sense? Now watch. For we are to God. Look who you are to God. Boy, we ought to just raise up our level of identity. We are to God the fragrance of Christ. Among who? Among everybody, those that are saved and not saved. Your life is designed to be so convicting that you reveal Christ, whether men believe or not, you are the conviction of their heart. You following me? Okay, now I really have to repent because I said that was it. But there's a scripture bombarding me. Man, if you get done before me, I apologize. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow unless I ran you off. But in Philippians 2, God, he had me read this about 17 years ago for 13 weeks. He said, Dan, I want you to read Philippians 2 and don't go anywhere else until I tell you. I said, really? Okay. I was excited. I read it. Now, in that season, I was reading my Bible about 5 times a day because I woke up and read. I went to work and read at break, lunch, break, and at night before I went to bed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No less than 5 times a day I was reading my Bible. And I'd probably sneak a peek in between because I was zealous. So you're reading Philippians 2 5 times a day. So in one day, you've read Philippians 2 5 times. So on the second day, you're like, okay, I guess Philippians 2. And I'm thinking, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go back here 6th time, you know. He said, Dan, I don't want you to read it to memorize it. I want you to read it to become it. I don't want you to read it to know what it says. You read it and you stay there till you become it. Meditate, muse, yield yourself to me. I want to make you Philippians 2. I went, 13 weeks later, it's not like, yay, I graduated. 13 weeks later, I opened my Bible and he said, hey, read Philippians 3. I went, yeah. And 3 just came alive because I became 2. It's not that I could quote 2. I became it.
Whoa.
You don't know the Word till you become the Word, because the Word becomes flesh. If it was that way for Jesus and we're following him, then it's that way for us. You don't know the Word because you can preach it. You know the Word because you know him and you've become it and your life bears the fruit of it. Are you guys all right with that? That's not heavy, is it? That's exciting to me that the grace of God is willing to make me and the Word one. That my life can manifest that Word.
Whoa.
Watch this. Do you think he'd write all these commandments and all these encouragements and all these exhortations if it wasn't possible to become those things by grace?
Do you think he's like getting a kick out of it and he's telling us to be holy as he's holy and walk in love as he loved? And he's saying, look, God, they're actually trying it. As if they could. Psych. Come on.
I better quit. He talks in Philippians 2 about being like-minded and same love and being of one accord. He says in verse 3, let nothing. What's nothing mean? Nothing. You know what's refreshing? Look it up in the Greek. It means nothing. It's awesome. It's really good.
There's no surprise with that word. Nothing means nothing.
So let what?
Watch. Let nothing be done. Nothing be done through selfish ambition. Do you know you can pursue to be in the ministry and it can be selfish ambition? You could push to just get the mic from the pastor so you can prophesy to feel spiritual. That's weird. Stop that. Don't ever take the mic like that. You take the mic in fear and trembling and humility because you believe you have something to say from the Lord to edify the people, not because you need to feel spiritual and you hope people see you spiritual. The only reason you need people to see that way is because you don't believe you're that way. The only reason you need somebody to tell you you're awesome is because you need to believe it. Watch this. If I need Tim to say thank you to me and tell me I'm awesome, then every time he does, he's enabling me to stay the same without him realizing it. He's just being sincere, but I'm feeding off his sincerity to keep something alive that I don't know unless he encourages it and feeds it. Do you know people serve in ministries for appreciation, for accolade, and for acknowledgement? That's why they get hurt in churches and move on because they feel like nobody appreciated them. Well, I didn't think you did it for accolade. I thought you did it for love. Why do you need thank you? It's all before the Lord. Don't you come to this church, please. Now, this is risky. I'm speaking on behalf of leadership, but I can get safe saying this because I'm a guest speaker. Seriously, because you won't tag it to their hearts. Please, don't you come to this church and serve in the ministry for any other reason than love. It'll be weird and it'll be sick and twisted. It'll create something that's not cool. And all of a sudden, they'll give accolade to somebody or they'll honor somebody in sincerity, and you'll sit there and wonder why they never acknowledge you because you served a month longer in this ministry and nobody acknowledged you. And all of a sudden, you need to get a grip on your heart and wonder why you're even doing what you're doing. See, because some people just need people to come up and say, oh my gosh, you're the most awesome servant. The way you lay down your life. And you go, excuse me, what'd you say? I said, you're the most awesome. I thought that's what you said. And the only reason you're feeding off of it, because you need to hear it, because you don't believe you're special. So then what you do is you go out of your way and serve all the more because of what it brings to you from men. And now in their eyes, you really look like the greatest servant that ever was because you go absolutely the extra mile and out of your way. And the whole motive is because you don't even love yourself and you need people to tell you you're awesome because you don't believe you are. That's tragic. Because when you lay down that much heart and effort and the day they don't acknowledge it, you are shattered. And then you leave your church hurt. And you carry that wherever you go. Now, I'm just talking plain. That's pastoral stuff that I'm very aware of as a leader. Don't you ever let that happen to your heart. You let your love be sincere, and you do what you do for the kingdom and for others, and you lay down your life, and you need nothing in return. And if you need anybody to acknowledge you, then you question your own heart and get a grip on it before you keep serving. Look, if I don't need you to thank me and you thank me, then it's healthy and I can receive it. You're not doing wrong by thanking me. You could be sincere. But if I need you to thank me, you're actually enabling something you don't realize that's twisted. But it's not wrong to thank me and I can receive it and it's healthy when I don't need you to because what I do is for love. Can you tell that I'm not sacrificing by being here? Can you? Why do you need to thank? Oh, thanks for coming. I understand what you're saying. But if I need to hear that, if I'm just preaching and putting on a show and ramping myself up so that I get the accolade, that's very, very bad deception. Don't ever let that happen to any one of your hearts. Are you hearing me? I want this church so healthy. I want you to serve because of love. It is possible to be in this church for the rest of your life and not have issues and resolve every conflict and never have offense rise up. And spread like a cancer. It doesn't mean you always agree. It doesn't mean you don't want to have to work things out and talk things through at times. But you're not doing it for the need to be right. And you're not doing it because of offense. You're doing it because of truth. And you're pursuing love and making peace. It's possible to function that way in this house for the rest of your days. Yes, it is. I'm telling you, it is. Philippians 2. We're going to let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Conceit, but in lowliness of mind, look, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others. Oh God, I'm in trouble. Just keep getting bombarded. James 3 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him prove it by the conduct of his life that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have selfish ambition in your heart, don't lie, don't boast and lie against the truth or boast against the truth. For this kind of wisdom does not come from God. It comes from below. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where there's jealousy, envy, or selfish ambition, there's every evil work present.
That's what James 3 says. Who is wise and really knows what they're talking about? Well, let them prove it by the conduct of their life, not the words of their speech. Because you have selfish ambition in your life. You're boasting and lying against the truth. Where's offense come from? Selfish ambition. Where's heated, passion-driven disagreement come from? Selfish ambition. Why is there wars and striving among you? Because you lust, you desire, you want, and you can't have, so you fight. That's in James. Come on. Come on, this isn't mean stuff. This is, I know it doesn't feel fun maybe to you to talk this, but this is life-giving stuff. Because here's the problem, and I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't a problem. We think some of that stuff is our normal everyday. We all got to walk through it and go through it, and we're all going to be that way. If you believe that, you set a grid for that, and when it happens, you have no place to repent because that's the way we are, you know. Don't sell yourself cheap. You're not for sale. You're already bought. Let this mind be in you. This is amazing to me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. God right now is going to let us in on what made Jesus tick. The Word of God is going to let us in on what motivated Jesus to the cross and made him who he was. The mind that motivated Jesus, the gas in his tank, the motivation, the why behind his life, he said, let the mind be in you that was in Christ. Let his why be your why. That's heavy. He was in the form of God, but he didn't consider it something to be held on to and acknowledged for. He made himself of no reputation. All our lives, be honest, you're seeking reputation. We don't even realize it. I did it too. We all did it. You're seeking acknowledgement. You're seeking esteem. You're seeking reputation our whole lives. Jesus made himself of none, laid down his life and died for the sake of others. And he said, follow me. That's where cool is. We're seeking accolade. We're seeking reputation. We're seeking acknowledgement. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Why? Because he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He had no need to be acknowledged by man or acknowledged for who he really was. He came to love and to serve. And God said, boy, I like that. I'm exalting that. Gave him the name above every name, that every knee should bow, those in heaven and earth under the earth, that every tongue would confess that he is truly Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because this is true, my beloved, you see what he does? He exalts Jesus, gives you the name above every name, and then he jumps right to us and says, therefore. And he goes right to us. Why? Because he sees us as one. That's heavy. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own, not somebody else's, work out your own salvation with reverence before the Lord. Now watch. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Do all things. How many things? That's the same as nothing. It's unlimited. Let nothing be done. Do all things. You get it? Do all things without complaining and disputing. How many things? Why in the world would I live that way? That you may become blameless, innocent, harmless children of God. Watch. Without fault. That means in their eyes, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as a light, holding forth the word of life. Preacher after preacher will tell you what I just preached is impossible to live. And yet he tells us to live it. I'm going to stick with grace. I'm going to stick with the gospel. The only reason preachers tell you that is because it's not their experience, so they don't believe it. Okay, I'm not being arrogant. It's probably on tape. If they preach that, they're wrong. Your Bible says you can live this way. Your Bible says do all things without grumbling and complaining. Your Bible says it's possible to live without fault in the sight of the world to where they can't point at you and call you an evildoer. That the conduct of your life rips their heart and convicts their heart and turns them to consider him because your life is amazing in their eyes. You say, well, Dan, I've blown that. I've blown my testimony. I've misrepresented that at my workplace. No, they need to see the power of repentance, the integrity and character of repentance. You might feel like you've blown it, but you get on your feet and you get a hold of that now and you become Philippians 2 now. And watch this. A year might go by till they even consider your life, but they can't deny you're not the man they remembered a year ago. And all of a sudden you have their attention. Why? Because of repentance and the mercy of God. And now you're right back on track, losing nothing but imparting to the world.
Yeah. Come on. We ought to read our Bibles, man.
Do all things so you can be seen as innocent, harmless children in the midst of a twisted world. He made me that chapter 17 years ago when I was working in a secular place. I could stand here for 4 hours, and I know you believe me, and share testimony after testimony of the workplace. Supervisor calling my house, how do you live that way? The one I told you about, Jeff, calling my house, hey, I need to talk to you. I stood near you, felt something coming off you. I haven't smoked since. I went into another job after pastoring for a while because I had a lot of questions about ministry. I felt violated by behind the church scenes, church stuff. Felt more like a business. It was stuff I wasn't used to and I needed a better understanding. I was kind of reacting to. I just needed a breather. I just wanted to go out and get in the darkest place I could because that's where I shine. So I left my pastor's position and my salary and went back into the work field in the warehouse. People were like, what are you doing, man? I covet your job. It's not a job. Stop it. Yeah, but you got it made, man. You're full-time ministry. So are you. Let your light so shine before men. Sounds like 24/7 to me. What they're saying is you're getting paid for being a Christian. So are you. Treasures in heaven. Legacy, little window called life, speaking glory to his name forever. Sounds like a treasure to me. Or you can expend it on fear, doubt, unbelief, and self-stuff. Or you can lay down your life and shine. So I went into another job. Countless testimonies, unbelievable stuff God will do when you understand why you're alive and you desire to be a living epistle and testimony. People making fun of me, the boss that mocked me the most got rocked the most. Openly mocked me, the head guy of the company. You'd think just that position, he'd have more character. But he would openly mock me and try to humiliate me, which is impossible. I will cry for him way before I get humiliated by him because he doesn't have a clue. He's lost and caught up in his arrogance. How can he keep me from knowing him? How can he keep me from walking in peace? Only if I don't know him, then I believe his words over God's. One day he walked by me, and I said, hey, Chris, how are you, buddy? He said, I'm doing good. Thank you, Dan. Sarcastic. Kept on strolling by. The Lord said, he's scamming you. He's in the deepest depression of his life. He's suicidal. He's quitting his job. He's moving back to New York. He's not okay. Hey, you're scamming me, man. It's good. I don't talk like that, but I heard that, so I said that. It's good to say what he says. He says, excuse me, Dan, what do you mean? I said, you just scammed me, man. You told me you're fine. Yeah? You're not fine, Chris. You're in the deepest depression of your life. You're quitting your job, moving back to New York, suicidal thoughts. What's... Instant tremble. Staring at me, instant tremble in the aisle. The biggest mocker in the plant. God loves him so much. If I didn't have the heart of God, to hell with him. Hey, he deserves what he gets. Mocking you, God, blaspheming your name. No wonder he's depressed. Hello? I'll bet you mercy triumphs over judgment. I bet he's not an offense to me. I bet I cry for him because he doesn't understand. And if he knew who he was, he wouldn't think and act that way. Hello? I bet I don't have a problem because of him. I bet he's in trouble. I bet I have the kingdom. I bet he's not doing well. He said, how can you possibly know that? He said, does it show? I said this. I said, no, you're an amazing hypocrite, man. A hypocrite's a play actor. And you're putting on a great scene, man. Well, then how can you know? And he went, and it hit him how I knew. I said, that's right, Chris, the one you mock, the one you make fun of all the time. Just because you mock him and make fun of him doesn't mean he's not real, and it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Chrissy showed me these things so he could save your life and spare you from the way things are going. Jesus loves you. It was amazing. He was so undone. I think we need to sit down and talk. I said, yeah, I think that would be good. And he said, okay. Because I'm on a job, it's incentive, I have to keep moving, so I'm working. Half hour later, he comes in the aisle. Dan, I'm so shook up by what happened. I had to leave. I'm going home. I'm going to my apartment. Can you please come see me at the end of your shift? I'll be there, my friend. Give me an address. Do you know Mountain Wolf? I do. Turn, yeah, I'll be there. My shift was over. I zoomed to his house. He's sitting on his couch trembling, waiting for me. It's powerful. I went in and explained the gospel to him. He's mocking something he doesn't even understand. It says men will mock and scoff what they don't understand. It's called pride. Why would you mock something if you don't understand? Just keep your mouth shut. I shared the beauty of the gospel. He cried. He said, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. He said, I haven't understood the gospel. I haven't understood Christians. I had a bad experience here and there. I said, yeah, I understand. That's what happens. And then we judge the whole basket because of a bad experience. You ready to get born again? You ready to give your life to Jesus? Yeah, man. And right there on his couch, he got saved. You should have heard his message in the morning on my phone machine. We come back from church because that was Saturday night. He has a message on my thing flashing, and I played it. And he said, Dan, I just want to thank you for Jesus. He said, I slept all night. I don't even know what time you left, but I was out, man. And I woke up this morning and peace, peace. Are you kidding me? Peace. I didn't know there was such a thing. He said, man, thank you for Jesus. And he's going, and I'm bawling. My wife's going, and I hit it three times and tortured myself and just listened to it. You know why? Do all things without grumbling and complaining. It's God who works in you. It's God who works in you. It's God who works in you. Don't pray for another job because you're struggling on your job because of people's attitudes. Wonder if God planted you there because he needs light there and he wants you to shine there. I pray that he ball and change you there till you get a revelation. One of the greatest prayer requests I get is pray that I get another job. It just wears me down and I hate all the cursing and my boss just defiles me every day. I feel dirty when I leave and I don't know why God lets me work there. I wish he'd give me a Christian job. I am the wrong guy to ask to pray for another job for you. Because it is all about you now and you don't even know why you're alive. And you feel sorry for yourself and you're questioning God and you actually think his mercy is unjust and there isn't none on your behalf because he's making you suffer at work. I wonder if he planted you there so light can shine. I wonder if you're busy feeling sorry for yourself and wishing you had a better day and using your gospel as the way to have a better one. I always tell people, I ain't praying that for you. I hope God keeps you there forever. What? You're an example of who he is. And if he takes you out, there might not be any hope. At least there's some hope, even if you don't get it right now. You can get it in a minute. That's talk. Come on, if every Christian ran out of the world to get a Christian job, there'd be no light on the earth. We'd just be huddled in corners. We'd be like little fireflies having parties. Fireflies look cool on the darkest nights. And the more there are in the middle of the night, it's fascinating. Isn't it? When there's just millions of them flashing in the darkness, it's like, well, that's you guys, right in Seaford or wherever, Bridgeton, whatever you call it. It's a darkness. Come on, man. Do all things without. Probably ought to treasure the gift of life, huh? Probably ought to thank God you're alive. Thank God that you have the potential of the kingdom inside of you. Okay. I've labored you all enough. I challenged your heart tonight, I could tell. I almost feel like I was hard on you tonight, but it wasn't my fault. You have to write Jesus a letter, man. Don't email me. Write Jesus a letter, man, because it's what I'm hearing. It's just where, and it's not what. It's not because I believe or I believe he believes you're in those places. He doesn't want you ever found there. I never believe I preach the stuff I preach because the people are walking in it. That's not my mindset. Now, people come up and tell me that. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you shared that. That was right where my life was. I so needed that adjustment. Oh my gosh, that was so sobering. Well, and I like that. That's fun. But that's not my heart. I'm not sitting here preaching, determining, wow, these guys are really missing it in these areas. It's a fathering message. It's a protective message so that you don't walk in that place. Does that make sense? So I want you to just receive that and understand that's why these kind of messages come out. There's so many things you could talk about tonight. There's so many things we could preach on and share and do and minister, and it would probably all be acceptable and pass as the Lord. But my heart when I'm preaching, when somebody hands me a mic, is if you got the mic tonight and faced this crowd, what would you say, King Jesus? If you had one crack tonight at these people to speak personally, what would come out of your mouth? Let it be the words of my lips. That's what I'm praying when you see me kneel in Durham worship, because I have no need to preach to you. I want to hear his voice. And I get up here and I struggle sometimes with the direction we're going because it's not even where I want to go. But I died, remember? There's things he asked me to say to people and preach to people and counsel to people, and it's a fear and trembling thing. It's not even what you want to do sometimes. But it's what you're here to do. And I'll bet your Father knows best. Amen? Paul writes all about the children of Israel. And he says, we have these things for your admonishment so you don't follow their footsteps. He says they all were under the same cloud. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. But yet with many, God wasn't pleased. That doesn't mean he's angry with his arms crossed going, hmm. It means he couldn't fulfill the pleasure of them fulfilling his will. He couldn't see the pleasure of them walking in their destiny. If you draw back, his soul has no pleasure in you. It doesn't mean he's displeased and frustrated with his arms crossed. It means he can't enjoy you fulfilling created purpose. You follow me? So there's no pleasure in the decision you're making. There's no pleasure in drawing back. God can't enjoy you becoming what you're created to be. We've grown up thinking he's mad at us, thinking he's scowling, or there they go again. Why can't they get it straight? You follow me? Listen, they all were under the same cloud. They all drank the same drink and ate the same food. Tonight, every one of you heard the same word. Yesterday, you all heard the same word. This morning that we're here heard the same word. He said, these things are spoken for your admonition so you don't walk in those things, so you walk just and upright. Watch, you're the steward of your heart. What you do with what cried out of me in the last several services is between you, your heart, your faith, and Jesus. Nobody can make you obey these things, but God can call you into them. Guard your heart, friend, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Fair enough? Fair enough. I'm going to pray something quick, then we'll do something real quick. Are we all right? Are we really late? No, you started at 6, though, dude. You guys are amazing. Father, we just thank you for the word, and we just thank you for truth. We just thank you for grace. And God, any word that came out of me that was uttered by your Spirit, I ask it to seal in the heart of these precious people. I ask that every heart be encouraged, that every faith be established. God, I thank you for adjustment. I just thank you for conviction, and I thank you for increase, God, in revelation. I'm praying that in everyday life, in practical ways, these things come to our remembrance. Would you appreciate that, guys, if Holy Spirit would bring these things to your remembrance if in the midst of life? So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come, and we ask you to bring these things to our remembrance in the midst of life. That we see all things and walk in all things concerning you, and that we send the message of who you are to the world around us without trying so hard, without thinking evangelistic. God, just teach us to walk in the light as you're in the light. Just by the grace of God, let a joy be in our heart because our light so shines. God, thank you that it's not because we're biting our lip trying to be Christians, trying to impress people, and trying to walk a straight line. It's because we're in love and we see your way as righteous. We've yielded to you, and your grace is sufficient. God, I'm asking you to mold, yeah, and shape the heart of every person in this place. And let the words of the Lord that were spoken, not even one, let them not even one fall to the ground. God, I ask you to bring forth your fruit in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay.